The motorsports world is where legends are made, the unthinkable happens, and barriers are broken. One man harnesses the power of an industry every week. This is the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor, with Jim Beaver.
Welcome to this week's General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here kicking off the show, and yeah, we've got a fun, I guess another, quarantine edition of the show. But yeah, we got a fun guest lineup this week, and we've also got a big throwback back to episode number 300. A couple years ago, we're pulling out one out of the archives. We got Mr. Ken Block going to be on the show in a best of interview in hour number two. You don't want to miss that one. We'll also dive into NASCAR, right? They're going racing again. We're going to talk about it. Also, some rumors swirling about Supercross, IndyCar, Formula One, some big announcements. Man, you know, people are antsy and they are ready to go racing. And we are going to try and dissect the news, the rumors, the cancellations, and the new schedules the best we can to kick off hour number two. But because that's being moved to hour number two, it's good reason. Because hour number one, we're coming out swinging after this break. It is going to be Connor Daly. Yes, IndyCar driver. You know him from not only Carlin, but also Ed Carpenter Racing. He's got a full-time IndyCar program this year, but he's also become one of the faces of iRacing, one of the guys that's been pushed up there to the forefront of sim racing over this, this shutdown that we're in. But he's also got an insane Twitch following. You know, his Discord has become almost viral every single time he fires it up. He's got Chad Reed, Travis Pastrana, Alex Rossi, Hinch, you know, the usual suspects on there, and it is downright hilarious. He's found a way to thrive as everybody else is shut down. So we're going to have Connor Daly, one, talking about IndyCar season, and it's getting ready to get underway here in June. But, you know, he's going to be talking about iRacing and everything else, so that is definitely going to be fun. To catch up with Connor. It's been a while. You know, I had him penciled on at the start of the year. Hey, we need to talk with Connor Daly. He's got a full-time IndyCar program. Well, took a little bit, but we're going to catch up with him. We're still going to talk about the IndyCar program. So Connor never disappoints. And we've also got my good friend Mia Chapman, Red Bull athlete, off-road racer. She's going to be chiming in. She's gone iRacing. And, you know, she's got a big year ahead of her in off-road. So we're going to talk about the mid-400 and her season so far and sim racing. And, man, we got a lot to talk about. You got questions, hit me up at JimBeaver15 on social media. We'll get those in the show today. And with that, we're going to take a short commercial break here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Got my buddy Connor Daly on the line, who I guess going to be a full-time IndyCar driver this year, but right now you are a full-time iRacer, my friend. How's everything going?
Yeah, it's an interesting title to have. I never really expected that. But yeah, here we are. I mean, it's obviously a weird time to be alive right now. But we got to do the best with what we've got right now, which is currently video games and steering wheels in our guest bedrooms, in my case. So that's pretty wild.
I got a radio studio in my guest bedroom, so there you go. You know what I mean? It's we do what we got to do to stay relevant, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I've always been into video games, love video games. Yeah. I've always been called a nerd by my friends, but now a lot of the other drivers are putting in more hours than I do. So it's hilarious. The tables have turned. Everyone is now a nerd. And, we're all competing like it's a real race every weekend because it's just, we're competitive humans.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny. I had this conversation with somebody yesterday, and I said, out of everybody in motorsport, and, we don't want to get into the guys who have definitely hurt their stock by the whole iRacing thing, but out of everybody in motorsport, I said, Connor, I said, I appreciate him because I said, you go into the IndyCar season and then you look a month and a half later. And I said, Connor's the one guy who's actually improved his stock, because not only do we know you're a badass IndyCar driver, but now you've got this social following in the iRacing community and gaming and everything else. Like, I don't know if there's a way to be successful in the middle of a pandemic, but somehow you figured out a way to stay relevant and actually improve your stock, man.
No, I appreciate it, man. I mean, it's all about building your brand. I mean, every day, even when the world was, was running as normal, you got to build your brand every day, whether it's on social media or whatever. And I mean, I've been on the Twitch, on the Twitch stuff for a while, but, I've never really played racing games. So it's not really been super appealing to, I guess, my core fan base. But now I'm forced into it. So, it's something my fan base has enjoyed. I think, I'm still going to be streaming as much as I normally stream, when this whole pandemic is over. I'll probably play a little bit more Call of Duty than I will iRacing, but, I'm not a huge fan of the iRacing stuff. I think I'll probably still end up doing some oval races with some people, cause the oval stuff is fun. But yeah, it's something you got to think about, building your brand. The Twitch platform that we have is so great to have fans engaged, get people that support you, are able to support you, in multiple ways on their platform. So I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, and I want to ask because your Twitch stream has become like its own thing. You know what I mean? Like it's what everybody talks about when you guys, whether it be, we had my off-road event, you guys have the rallycross stuff, you got the IndyCar stuff, but your stream, I mean, and you got the usual suspects, you and Alex and Trav, and I know Chad Reed pops on there, Hinch does with some of the events, things like that. It's like, how did this whole thing get organized? Because now it's become like the place to go when something's on. Everybody wants to tune into your Twitch feed just so they can hear the chaos.
Yeah, certainly. It's been surprising how much it's taken off, I guess. I think what ended up happening is, you know, obviously the IndyCar guys, we sort of all, you know, my close friends, at least, like, I already knew how to operate the internet racing community, right? I already knew, like, I knew what a Discord was. I knew where we could get together and chat and you know, at least hang out while we're doing this iRacing. And then I told everyone, well, you know, by the way, I'm streaming this as well. And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then, you know, it kind of went from there. So I think it's, you know, it's a place where we can all just be really honest and laugh about what we're doing at the same time as trying to compete. And then, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, now we're, you know, we got Travis Pastrana in there. We've got Chad Reed. You know, Chad is a good friend of mine. We raced against each other last year in the Lamborghini Super Trofeo Series, which was really cool. And I mean, I've been a fan of Chad for a long time. Yeah. Like, the guy is, you know, I was always number 22 when I was growing up. That's mainly because my dad was 22 at one point in Formula One, but Chad's obviously repped the number 22 for a long time, and he's been a legend. So it's really cool to be a part of that little group of people. And it's been hilarious. So coming out of this quarantine to be friends with Travis Pastrana and Chad Reed. And I think that's, we can hang that up as a life goal achieved.
Yeah, well, and you got to hang out with Trav. You guys shot it was a Red Bull video, right, at Indianapolis Motor Speedway this winter, and you were one of the golfers in the video, right? So I know you and Trav had hung out before, right? And during that Red Bull shoot in the middle of like a frigid ass Indianapolis winter.
Oh no, they did not know I was a driver or anything. I didn't see Trav once. I was purely used as an extra on the golf. Didn't even see Rossi that day. It was literally just, it was so cold that no one was really hanging out, and I was just used as a golfer.
Oh, that's funny. So the truth comes out about that video, because I figured, I was like, oh, that'd be a fun group to hang out with, right? No, it was, and everybody that I've talked to, you know, I think Liza said, she's like, that was like literally one of the coldest days ever to be out there filming. She's like, no, don't want to do it again.
Well, it was terrible, honestly. Great product, though. Like, it was a great finished product, but gosh, it was, that was a rough day.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about 2020, man, because we'll come back to the iRacing stuff in a minute. But I know we hadn't caught up, but I know this was a really, you know, I guess until the rug got pulled out from all of us, and it'll still be an epic year for you. But, you know, you're one of the guys I know, you know, you've obviously last year you found, you know, some numerous homes, had a great run in Indianapolis, you know, finished 10th. There, you know, coming into this season, though, I mean, you know, you picked up that ride with ECR, which, you know, was for all the road and street courses, plus Indy, which had to have you stoked, man, because ECR at Indy, I mean, that's, you know, that's a car that can put you on the pole, you know. And then you also, you know, brought in Carlin for the remaining oval. So you somehow spliced together a full-time ride in IndyCar. I mean, it wasn't in the normal traditional sense, but you had to be pumped to be back full-time in the IndyCar series this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been working at it for years. You know, it's been, you know, since 2017, you know, since we've been full time. So it's really cool to get back to that. It's been a long road. It's been tough. I'm not really sure how it's, you know, I didn't really know how it was going to go at times. But the only reason I'm here is because of the U.S. Air Force. I mean, they're the only legitimate reason why I'm, you know, why I'm still an IndyCar driver, which is, you know, which I'm really thankful for. It's an incredible sponsor, an incredible partner, to be able to represent for. And yeah, I mean, it is going to be exciting. Do we get less races? Yes. Which is very similar to how, you know, I assumed I assume that there would be a pandemic when I get re-employed for a full-time season, but I figured something of this nature would happen. I do tend to have bad luck, but that's fine. Sorry to all those who've had their seasons affected. It's probably my fault. But yeah, it's going to be fun. Two great teams. Carlin's awesome. I'm actually starting the season with Carlin, oddly enough, now, because Texas is technically our first race. So that'll be the first time ever in my IndyCar career I will have been with the same team at the same track 2 years in a row. So it's going to be exciting to do that. And then, when we get to the Ed Carpenter Racing team, I can't wait to work with those guys. It's been so fun to get to know everyone and get to know Ed a lot better. They run such a great organization, and I'm so pumped to get back, you know, to real life.
Yeah. Well, and how does the schedule, I mean, obviously you guys all, you guys are professionals, you can adapt and, you know, overcome, but how does this new schedule kind of throw a wrench in your plans? I mean, you guys had everything planned out, and obviously I know it probably, the teams, I mean, it's got them working double time trying to figure out logistics and everything else of this new schedule, you know, but you as a driver, I mean, you kind of had an idea of the way the flow of the season was going to go, things like that with tracks, travel, you know, and the mix of ovals and road courses and things like that, you know, and now all of a sudden, you know, like you said, we're starting out in Texas. I think we got, a trio of dates in Indianapolis. I mean, you know, how has this changed the way you're approaching things just because it's completely different, man? I mean, month of May, I mean, we're playing iRacing in the month of May. Something's weird, you know? And you know what? Before we let Connor answer that question, we've got to take a short commercial break here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP Advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at GSPXTV.com today.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
And we're back here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And before we went to the break, you know, we started talking kind of about the month of May and IndyCar and the Indy 500 and kind of the craziness. So I guess, Connor, we'll let you kind of pick up where we left off there and chime in on the month of May.
Yeah, it's honestly, like, it does make me sad to think about. You know, I have never in my life, ever since I existed as a human, has there not been an Indy 500 in the month of May. Every year of my life I've been at the track. Every year of my life I've been excited for the race as a fan and then a driver. So it is going to be mentally quite difficult, I think, as we go through the next couple weeks. But you know, we do have something to look forward to. I mean, we have Texas in June. We have a schedule that's 15 races, you know, and hopefully more. Maybe they can add more. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a dynamic situation that is going to always change. Everyone's going to have to adapt. I think the toughest thing for me being with a new team with Ed Carpenter is the fact that now testing is not allowed anymore. So, you know, we were going to do a lot of testing throughout the year because the team doesn't cut corners at all. I mean, we had plenty of test days lined up, all, as much as we could do, and now all that's gone, and it's going to be very short race weekends, it looks like, potentially, you know, until we get things a little bit more back to normal. So it's going to be really tough on drivers, really tough on rookies. It's going to be really tough. I think everyone's going to try and, you know, go big or go home type of an approach. There could be a lot of mistakes. So you just got to hope that, you know, you make it through the first few races as a bit of a information collecting journey and try to stay good in the points, try to stay up towards the front, and then really hit your stride, you know, mid-season when the Indy 500 is happening in August. So we'll see what happens.
How important was it, we're talking about, you know, your 2020 that you've got lined up and this full-time ride, and how important was 2019 in that, you know, you a lot of drivers, when things don't work their way, they kind of just fade away and just wait for that phone call, and they start sending emails. They're not really, you know, I guess, you know, in people's picture. But you, I mean, on the other hand, you went, you know, you picked up some rides here and there. Obviously, you had a great run at Indy. You know, you did some stuff with midgets. You ran the Chili Bowl. Obviously, you were talking about, you know, the Lamborghini series. I know you were driving the two-seater when you got a chance. I mean, how was that, like, staying in front of people? You know, how important was everything you were doing and staying in the public eye? You know, did that help bring this ride in 2020 together?
Honestly, it's a really humbling experience. I mean, you go from 2 years in a row of being the guy, you know, at the team, you're working towards, you know, winning races. You know, we were on the podium my rookie year, felt so good. 2017, I thought, was a building year into a 2 or 3 year deal with this team. Really, really enjoyed working with the guys at Foyt, and they needed a financial solution that I didn't have. And you kind of end up literally a fish out of water. So it's tough. It's awkward. It's annoying. Showing up, driving the two seater, or just walking around. I mean, seeing all my friends doing what I love to do and I can't do it is really tough. So I see how it would be hard for others to, you know, potentially go through that, or even, you know, as an ego thing, like kind of having your ego crushed and kind of going back to just walking around in a polo and jeans every weekend. But it was what was necessary. And honestly, it was totally worth it. I mean, to be back now full time, I mean, I have so many goals that I want to accomplish still. I've been dying to get in a car at some of these tracks that I felt, I was quite strong at in 2016, my rookie year. And I'm so pumped. So it was worth it. It's a very humbling experience. It's not what I want to have to go through again. But I appreciate those for sure who helped me out and who got me to the racetrack, who let me stay on their couch in their hotel rooms at race weekends at times, just so I could be there.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask too, because I had him as a guest on the show. What are we talking? A few months back when his new TV show was debuting, but I got to know Derek Thieler really, really well. And I think one of the cool things about you is wearing the polo and jeans, you're actually able to be an ambassador for IndyCar and then some of, you know, the charities and different organizations you work with, you know. But I know Derek Thieler, I had him on the show, and he's like, this is a motorsports show. He's like, do you know Connor Daly? I'm like, yeah, dude, I know Connor Daly. And he's like, dude, that guy is awesome, you know. And so, I start looking at things, I look at things like that, and I'm like, you know, it did give you some opportunities to meet some people from other walks of life, you know, that – when you're full-time just wearing the suit, concentrating on racing, you probably didn't get a chance to meet, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And getting to do the fastest seat in sports, you know, I got to meet a couple people, you know, doing that, which is really cool. And Derek's a great guy. Obviously, the connection there is, you know, he's a type 1 diabetic like myself. Yeah. So that was really cool to talk about that and kind of, you know, become friends, through that. And obviously, I had him out to Portland last year, which lasted about 500 yards. But it was still really cool to have him out there. And I'm definitely going to have him to another race this year, hopefully, if we can have people to races.
Yeah.
I got to meet a lot of people. You know, thankfully, IndyCar was able to use me in a couple different ways. And I kept telling him, I said, literally, use me. You have access to me every weekend. You can, I'll do anything. I'll clean the floors. I don't care. I mean, I'll talk to fans, do whatever you need to do. And so I think, again, that helps the brand. It builds the brand a little bit. And, it all was positive in the end.
Yeah. So, going back, I guess we're wrapping up the iRacing and IndyCar series. We're going to shift gears and start of June. Hopefully go racing at Texas. But I guess we got a big one left for iRacing. I mean, I got to wonder, you know, obviously, you know, there's the iRacing Indy 500. How I guess it's not an actual 500 miles. What are they calling it? Like the, I don't know, 70 laps or something like that. I can't remember. But, I mean, is this a big thing to win? I mean, it's Indy, right? I mean, if you win this, is it like a big thing? I mean, I know the guys are having fun with it. If you win, it's cool. But, I mean, how big would be winning the iRacing Indy 500 be?
I don't really know, to be honest. I mean, I still see it as a something that's just, you know, whoever spent 10,000 hours on it this week is probably going to win. Am I going to do that? Absolutely not. Is anyone else doing it that I know? Nope. Alex hasn't even done a lap yet. He just said he doesn't want to do a lap till Saturday, which is definitely not possible because we have a practice race later today. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I don't think you can predict it. I think are people going to be a little bit more, you know, focused and dedicated towards it and try to be a little bit more aggressive? Yes. I mean, it's indie, and I think people, it is special no matter what. And I would love to win. I think that would be awesome. But you just never know. I mean, it's, you could so easily get wiped out in a crash lap one. You could so easily, you know, get disconnected from the internet all of a sudden and something happens. So it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a battle. There's going to be people angry at other people. And you know what? I just hope that we make it through the whole thing and show up at the end with something to fight for.
Well, you know, and going back talking about Indy, let's talk about the real Indy. I mean, it's been running in the late summer temperature. I mean, it's going to be humid as hell in Indianapolis around that time. You're an Indiana boy. You understand that. I mean, you know, what are we looking at difference-wise? I mean, those couple of months are going to make a massive difference for the Indy 500. I mean, what are you thinking about this running in late summer the way it is? I mean, it's got to be different for drivers, teams, everybody. I mean, that's just the conditions are going to be completely different.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think the month of May is always interesting because the weather is actually quite inconsistent sometimes. I mean, I remember starting the month of May in 2016, and it was, you know, 48 degrees when we started the, you know, the month of May with the Grand Prix of Indy. So, you know, it can be, you know, 2 years ago was the hottest race on record. So, you know, will it be that hot in August? I don't know. I was looking at some data on the weather, and you know, it's actually pretty similar to May. I think the only thing is it's probably consistently more humid. So we'll see. I mean, we don't have any testing, so, you know, we won't get to go there before August. But once we, I think the most interesting thing about this new month of May/month of August, you know, whatever Indy 500 month it is, the practice will be so, so important. It'll be the first time really we've had more than a day of practice, I think, all year long. So it'll be, you know, there'll be people running as much as physically possible, as much as the tires will allow. So that could be really exciting come August.
Yeah. Well, and I guess with no testing in that, like you talked about, you know, practice are going to be crucial, but it's got to have you feeling a little more comfortable heading into this one, knowing you're with ECR.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel comfortable. But again, each team has a different, you know, a different way they like to, you know, set up cars and a different way that they have, you know, the different setup philosophy. So it's going to feel different no matter what to what I've driven. And even, you know, even when people said, oh, well, you're going to feel great in an Andretti car, I absolutely did. It was awesome. But the first 3 days, I mean, we were still like 18th, 20th, 18th. Yeah. And it took time to sort of get into where I wanted to be, you know, setup wise, because every driver, you know, every driver is different. And then sure enough, you know, once we figured it all out, you know, we were quickest on Fast Friday, you know, qualified 10th or qualified 11th, you know, really happy with it. And Alex Rossi and I had, you know, two of the fastest Andretti cars in the race. So, it does take time. It will take time, but, I can definitely start in a confident place for sure.
Well, Connor, you know, I appreciate you taking the time, buddy. I know, you know, your iRacing career is calling. You guys got some racing to do later today, or at least in the sim, man. But always fun catching up. I know I got a couple of more events we're going to be running in May, some fun stuff. I'll let a teaser. I think we're going to run Pro 2s at Laguna Seca. So if you want in on that, dude, I know you and the boys are all welcome. So
I appreciate that, man.
All right. Take it easy, brother.
You too, man. Thanks.
Always fun having Connor Daly on the show. Got to appreciate him and the hustle and making things happen, you know, amidst all the craziness in the world. We're going to shift gears, though. We're going to have Young Gun, Mia Chapman, right here on the show. We'll return after this break on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris in their award-winning lineup of RZR vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a RZR 170 like me, take the entire family out in a RZR XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new RZR XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris RZR. Check out the full Polaris RZR lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris RZR. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris RZR. I would like to welcome my very good friend, Ms. Mia Chapman, to the show. What's happening, Mia?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Just trying to keep busy with the soft time, and about it.
Yeah, well, I kind of feel bad for you because here you are, like you graduate high school. This is supposed to be like, all right, this is going to be an epic year. I graduated high school. We're going to get rolling. I'm a professional race car driver. And then it's like the rug pulled out from under you, right? It's like, pump the brakes, pause. We're not going to let you do anything.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's definitely a bummer. The plan was to graduate high school early and take the time to focus on racing. And now with this virus stuff, we got a lot of downtime, but it is what it is. We're doing our best to keep busy and keep the sponsors happy and see what we can do to help.
Yeah, well, I know it's funny you say keep the sponsors happy, and just we'll let the cat out of the bag so people tuning in know, but Mia and I and her family have a really good relationship, and I actually help manage Mia, so I kind of have an idea what's going on. But so that's why this is going to be funny. But I know, like, going into things, I know, like, so this is before the coronavirus hit, your dad had bought you and your brother a sim rig. And so he and I had talked, and we thought, oh yeah, it'd be kind of a cool thing to cross train or whatever. And so, you know, he bought it, and then right place at the right time, this pandemic hits, right? And so everybody's scrambling, trying to get sim rigs and steering wheels and things like that. And here you guys have this one sitting at your house, you know? So it was like, oh, we can race. Everybody wants to go racing. We've got this. We can go race. And you hadn't really put much thought into it. You're like, it's there. Like, you played on it, whatever. Now, all of a sudden, this thing that you probably didn't like so much has become like your lifeline, right? Because you're racing like on Fox TV and all these other things. Like, it's become this part of you that you probably didn't even really want to begin with, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's crazy how, like, the timing worked out with all of that. Like, right when we got it, everything started happening, and now I'm pretty much the only option was, you know, hop on it, you know, see what it was all about. And at first, you know, like you said, I was kind of iffy about it just because, like, I'm not a big, like, sit down, like, on a computer in front of a screen. But no, now that I spend more time on it, it's really fun and learning how to drive the cars. I mean, it's totally different than actually, like, driving a race car, but it's been fun learning all of it.
Yeah, well, and that's what I was going to say, because, like, both those tracks that that you're racing, you know, well, I guess that Short Course has, let's put it that way, that Short Course has. So they got Wild Horse Pass and the Wild West Motorsports Park, and you've raced both of those, you know, before, and mod carts and UTVs and stuff like that. I mean, is there, I know the tracks are the same, but is there, like, any similarities to real Short Course racing and then, like, what you're doing on the sim?
Well, yeah, it's funny because we stepped away from Short Course, you know, starting this year. And, you know, now we're, like, right back. But it's been fun getting my feet back wet back into it. And it is a little different than, like, the tracks, obviously, I know. So that's pretty cool, I guess, to, you know, get seat time on that. But you think, I mean, racing on a sim, it'd be kind of similar to actually, like, driving. But it's been a little bit of a challenge, just learning, like, the shift points and, you know, how it all works, but it's pretty fun.
Yeah. Well, and what I think is crazy about sim racing too is, like, you can have, like, you can go and spend $300 on a steering wheel and pedals and you can go on iRacing, or you can spend $20,000 on, like, one of these crazy carbon fiber all aluminum, you know, sim rigs, and like it, you're actually, it's much like the real world. However much you want to spend, a lot of it has to do with how fast you're going to go. You know, if you want the good steering wheel, the good pedal setup, you're going to have a little bit of advantage over somebody running on, like, the $300 Walmart set, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, it's crazy how much, like, money actually goes into it. But, yeah, it's been a whole learning experience, you know, playing around on that. But it's been fun, you know, getting seat time in and, you know, keeping my skills up. So yeah, it's been pretty nice.
Well, and I know we put you in a couple of races. So you had the World Cup race, and then you raced on Fox and stuff like that. But, like, you're banging doors with, like, these celebrities like Pastrana and stuff like that. And I do want to I want to call out my boy Chad Reed, because Mia, you put the hurt on Chad Reed in one of those races. I mean, how is that being able to be like, yeah, I put the hurt on Chad Reed?
Oh yeah, it's crazy. Like, racing with, you know, some of the top notch guys that I've looked up to my whole life, and then, you know, we get into a race and I'm out there banging doors with Chad Reed. Like, that's pretty insane, but it's pretty cool. We're all kind of, it's all pretty new to us still, so we're all kind of learning at the same level.
Well, I know you've been active on social media and you got some stuff cranking. I know we've also been talking. So a part of the reason I wanted to have you on here is kind of prime the pump, but you got a podcast coming out that we're going to be calling Mia Chapman's Free For All. And I think a lot of people would think at first this is, oh, Mia's going to be talking racing. And so you might talk a little bit of racing, but I think this is it's going to be interesting because this is, I think they're going to get a side of Mia Chapman maybe a lot of people don't know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, I'm super excited. With it kind of happened all perfectly because of the virus stuff. We have all this downtime, and I've kind of always wanted to start one. So I'm excited. I'm doing it with one of my very good friends. So we're going to have a lot of fun with it. And like you said, we're going to touch on some racing here and there. But for the most part, I want it to be more lifestyle, fun stuff, you know, just off the wall topics. So I'm excited.
Yeah. And I do want to mention, too, so a little insight into me and my relationship, you know, our professional relationship here is we've got a lot of bets that go on. And so I wanted to get her active on social media, so we get a bet. And so now the next bet is, so you guys are tuning this in on Sunday on SiriusXM. This might be the actual last day you ever hear from Mia Chapman, because come Monday we've got a bet where it's 7 a.m. every day. She's, you know, 4 hours away. I'm here, Parker. We're going to get out, and we're both going to put in a mile every morning at 7 a.m., right? And so I'm up by 7 every day. I think it'll be pretty easy for me, right? But Mia, she's one that she texts me today, and she goes, I said, you ready to do this? It was almost 10 o'clock, and she's like, it's early. I'm like, it's early. I'm like, how are you going to get up at 7 o'clock? So I'm just saying, as you're reading this, this might be the actual last day on earth you hear from Mia Chapman. So just putting it out there, Mia.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. I don't know how you conned me into doing this, but, I mean, we're both in it now. So if nobody hears from me come this Monday – I probably died from running so much.
Well, at least I know your dad. He went and he's got actually an appointment with the insurance office today, and he's putting an insurance policy, a life insurance policy. He's doubling it on you just so. At least Ryder will have a new race car if you pass away. So just saying.
Oh no, that's definitely probably a smart idea. We'll see. We'll see how this next week goes.
No, seriously though. I mean, how has things, like, you know, we're having fun, we're joking, stuff like that. You've been active on social media and things like that, but this is kind of, I mean, it's a crazy year. Like, we had these plans, and I guess fortunately you haven't actually missed any races yet. I know we were working on some stuff that might possibly have brought you back to do a little bit of short course racing this year, and I think those are scrapped just because of this whole thing. But I guess, you know, we'd plan on you running two races, and then you're going to run two races later on in the year, you know, big races and keying on those big races. So, but, you know, how has this kind of – it's kind of pulled the rug out from the industry. I mean, how has this kind of affected your plans? I mean, you know, because you kind of were in the mindset to go racing. Now we really don't know – what's going on, but you've been trying to stay relevant on social media and things like that, but, you know, you've got a lot of friends, I think, that are sitting there and they're missing races and things like that. I mean, how have you been able to keep your head straight? I mean, it's just, seems like you've been doing a good job with it though.
Yeah, no, it's been pretty crazy. I mean, like you said, the rug kind of got pulled out from under all of us, and now with all this free time, you know, I definitely want to use it to my advantage. And we've been trying to keep busy on social media, coming up with cool content ideas, and we're definitely getting creative with it. I think we've done some pretty cool stuff so far. But, yeah, we're just trying to come up with ideas to, you know, keep busy on social media and do our best to help the sponsors in any way we can, you know, doing giveaways and, you know, stuff like that. But, yeah, we're just kind of doing our best, doing what we can do for now, and hopefully we get back to racing soon, because I definitely miss being in the driver's seat. But
One of the funny things I think too is about social media, and especially during this pandemic. One, TikTok has become this huge thing, which is crazy. And I'm still not a massive TikTok fan, but it is what it is. But like even on Instagram, so the clips and the videos that actually do really well, like it surprises me. Like you can put out a race recap video, and, you know, 1,000 people watch it. You can do you doing, like, push-ups on Red Bull cans, and I don't know how many views that thing got. It was, like, 5,000 views or something crazy. And I'm like, it's crazy the stuff that people during this whole thing, like, the things that we think are silly, people are actually really, like, into on social media. Like, to me, it's crazy. Like, we have no idea what's going to do good or bad.
Oh, I know. I was so confused at first, because we kind of just put out like a race recap video from the Mint. And I mean, it did well, but then we a while ago, I did a push-up video, and that went like crazy. Like, we got a crazy amount of views, likes, all of that. So it is crazy how all of that works. And now everybody's getting involved with TikTok, which I think is kind of funny, especially seeing you on it. But yeah, it's a crazy time.
Yeah, well, that was the reason why I'm on it is we had a bet. You bet me a pan of brownies that I couldn't do three TikTok videos between, before the Mint, and I delivered, and I just threw up old race videos, so I kind of took a cop out because it wasn't like I was actually making TikToks or anything. But no, it's funny because I'm on there, and seriously, the stuff that goes viral on TikTok, I'm like, for real? And you look, it's like crazy views. Like, there'll be like a million viewers on something dumb, and I'm like, how are a million people tuned into this? Like, I don't. TikTok seriously is throwing everything I knew about social media out the window. Like, it's gone. Like, out there, vanished. You know, I'm like, how?
Oh, I know.
And like the people, like, you're like, how is this person famous? You know, I guess they're TikTok famous, and if you pass them on the street, you wouldn't know who they were. But I'm like, how does this person have a million followers? I'm like, why are people following them? Like, it's dumb. It's like the video I sent you the other day, like the guy with he threw Mentos in a Coke and it blasted him in the face. I'm like, yeah, this is funny. How is this guy famous now? Like, for real. I don't know.
No, it's hilarious.
I'm telling you, Red Bull taste testing videos, that's where it's going to be at.
Oh, that's coming soon. Don't worry.
All right. So, I don't know. You got any plans? I know you got the Play Razor starting to warm up in Arizona, though. You guys got any plans to get the Play Razor out and go and spin some donuts or do anything?
Yeah, no, it's definitely been getting warm here. But we have the desert's basically our backyard. So, I mean, that's pretty nice. We take the play cars out all the time. And just go do fun stuff that we, you know, wouldn't really get to do during race season. So, I mean, that part's been pretty nice. But, yeah, just, you know, doing our best to do what we can do and, you know, have fun with it and keep busy.
Yeah, where was you posted a video maybe a month or so back, and it was you doing donuts in the race car, and it was like in a quarry or something. Where was that? Because that looked really rad. Like, and the way you shot the video, it almost looked like a drone shot because somebody was like up on the side of the cliff of this quarry or something. Where was that at?
Yeah, no, it's funny. It's right down the road from our house. We have like a whole area of desert that goes on for miles and miles. And so we were out there and we found like this quarry kind of thing. And my dad goes, climbs up on the hill and he's like, you know, go send some donuts. And so he climbs up there and films me, but it was a pretty cool shot. I think he definitely had a good idea with that.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I like it. That came through and I, you know, and you're like, oh, you got a donut video. I'm like, cool. And I thought it was just going to be like somebody standing there, you know, filming you spinning donuts. And like, it was like, it kind of looked like a drone shot. I was like, this is awesome. Like, you know, but I guess that takes what it, you know, what it takes to get innovative now. But no, that was just a cool spot, you know. So I don't know. So what's next? Obviously, I guess play cars are going to have to get stuffed away in the heat. You guys going to hit the pontoon boat up, I guess, sometime soon?
I've been bugging my dad about it. I definitely want to get out to the lake soon, especially with it getting so hot here. It's like it just hits us. And you don't want to go outside because it's so hot. But we have a lake pretty close to us. So hopefully I can convince him to and take the pontoon out here pretty soon and relax, enjoy some free time.
Awesome. Well, I don't know. That's about all I got. I know we got a couple more iRacing events coming up in May, so hopefully we see you or your brother in those. And I don't know. Hopefully we can. Hopefully this thing clears up and we can actually go do some racing sometime soon or something, right?
Yeah, I know. No, I'm excited about the iRacing stuff, but definitely more excited to get back to racing.
For sure. Well, I appreciate the time, Mia. Always fun catching up. You guys have a good time, and we'll talk soon. And you know what? We will be back to wrap up hour number one here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And, man, let me tell you, we got one heck of an hour number one in the bank. And, you know, shifting gears, hour number two, we got a lot to talk about, you know, coming out of the world of motorsports and schedule changes, all that. We'll open up hour number two with that. Then we're going to move into a best of interview with Ken Block here in hour number two as well. So you definitely don't want to go anywhere. If you're tuning in on Dan Patrick Radio, Sirius XM channel 211, thank you guys. To get hour number two, you're going to have to switch gears and go over to Sports Byline because we're airing there, or the American Forces Network, or hit us up, and most importantly, on Apple Podcasts. Hit that subscribe button and please leave a rating while you're there. You can follow me at JimBeaver15 on all kinds of social media as well. Big news, though, we do have another show that just dropped with me and my good friend Jonathan Coyle, or I should be say my good friend and I, right, to be grammatically correct. It is on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. It's also on Spreaker. It is called All Things Awesome. And, you know, we're dropping that as season. Season one is all about the 80s. So go over to iTunes, hit that up, check it out. It's a very funny show. It gives you a side of things that I don't talk about very often, and he doesn't either. That's pop culture, video games, movies, cartoons, toys, clothing, I don't know, just comic books, whatever. It's all things awesome, and it's over there on Apple Podcasts. I think you guys are going to enjoy that one. Like I said, season one is all about the 80s. When season two drops, that one's going to be all about the 90s. So, yeah, a lot of content cranking out of our company here, you know, during this. But we're going to take a short break, and hour number two coming right at you here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story. For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
All right, welcome to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. This is hour number two. Thanks to everybody tuning in on Sports Byline USA, the American Forces Network, Down and Dirty Radio Show Network, Apple Podcasts, and Podcast One, everywhere you get your podcasts. Thank you, guys. Hour number two, I guess first off, we're going to break down some big, massive news about NASCAR going back racing. And we've also, you know, we got all kinds of schedules, all kinds of stuff popping up. Catch up on esports, iRacing, a whole lot more here to kick off hour number two. And then the second half of hour number two, we got a very special interview. This goes back to episode number 300 of my show. Yes, we are like well over 400 episodes in. This one goes back to episode 300. We had my good friend, the man, the myth, the legend, Ken Block on the show, and a special best of interview. We're going to be re-airing that interview right here today. So Ken Block, it's been a while. Actually, I think this is the last time he's on the show, which means I need to text Ken and we need to get him back on like stat. But, you know, it was, you know, definitely, definitely always a good time having Ken on the show. So we're going to throw back to a best of interview, and maybe this will prime the pump for getting him on fresh. But, yeah, he just dropped. I don't know if you guys saw, but he's got his newest tire slaying Hoon machine. It is a Mustang Fox body. Looks like a Batmobile. That just dropped. So maybe we'll talk about that in the next segment as well. So, Ken, you know, you want to talk about the ultimate machines. This guy makes the dream machines for sure. He creates builds that you can't see or get anywhere else. And, I mean, literally the ultimate dream builds. Ken Block, you know, somehow creates them and surrounds himself with people to do these epic builds. So always cool, you know, seeing what comes out of the brain of Mr. Ken Block. And being that I'm a Ford guy and he's a Ford guy, always really rad stuff that he somehow creates. So Ken Block, yeah, that interview will be coming up here in hour number two. So, yeah, and speaking of, you know, if you got any questions for us, hit me up at JimBeaver15 on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Probably be watching Twitter as we're live on the show, though. If you got questions, that's going to be where you want to plug them at. That way I'll get a chance to answer them. If you DM me on one of the other ones, it'll be a week delay before we get your question answered in the show. So my apologies. Yeah. So coming up next, we're going to be talking NASCAR, announcing that they're going back racing, taking some fan questions right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go, so let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound, the sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. We are, dipping our toes in the water in hour number two here on the show. Thank you guys for the continued support and tuning in. If you missed hour number one, you're going to have to go back in the archives and check that out. We had Mia Chapman and IndyCar driver Connor Daly, who has become an iRacing phenomenon and sensation and all things in between. But, big news, obviously, is, this iRacing thing. We've got a lot to talk about there. I mean, obviously, where do you start? It's been good. It's been bad for everybody. You got a guy like Connor Daly. He's actually raised his stock through iRacing. It's crazy, right? Motorsports gets canceled. Connor Daly, to me now, is worth more than he was before this started. Then on the flip side, you guys got guys like Bubba Wallace. Obviously, he lost his sponsor, and we thought that was a big deal. And then you got Kyle Larson, man. That poor guy, he lost, and I say poor guy. Obviously, he made mistakes. And I'm not going to dive into that, right, wrong, indifferent. You know what I mean? I think it was very serious what he did. He lost basically his entire career over this deal. He's got a lot to work. And then you've got a guy like Connor Daly who has done the right thing. He's put in the work. He's developed his own gaming social media following, sim racing following. You know, he's working with influencers, bringing them into his channel. This guy's got, if motorsports froze today, this guy could probably parlay everything he's built into a sim racing career. I mean, Connor is doing things right, and that being said, obviously iRacing, it's a forefront of everything we're doing. IndyCar's got their series, NASCAR's got their series, but, at some point we got to come back to real racing, and everybody didn't know what those dates were going to be. Who was going to be the first one to step up, say we're going back racing? Obviously Supercross has been toying with the idea of running a series in Phoenix, and just cranking out the events with no fans. NASCAR's been rumored they're going to go back to racing. And the announcement was made this week. NASCAR is going back to racing Sunday, May 17th at Darlington. It'll be live on Fox, 3:30 Eastern time, 400 miles, no fans in attendance, skeleton crews, no qualifying, no practice, which should be interesting. Literally, roll the cars up to the start line and go. You want to know what's crazy? I mean, they're going to be using data from years past to do this. The cars are not going to be set up right. This is a free-for-all. I mean, it truly is a free-for-all. I mean, who the heck knows who's going to win? I mean, you're not even going to have not one lap on the track before the start of the green flag. Well, I lie. You'll have some warm-up laps, obviously, as you roll the green, but no qualifying, no practice, just go time. That's crazy. That's nuts. No fans in attendance, skeleton crews. I don't know what the media is going to look like, at these events. Obviously, TV will be there. And NASCAR, being that they're going to try and capitalize on being the only major motorsport in the entire world racing, they've crammed a bunch of events into a small window of time. So Sunday, May 17th, we got NASCAR Cup at Darlington. Then 2 days later, on the 19th, we've got Xfinity at Darlington. And then you go one day later, Cup is going back to Darlington again to do a 500-kilometer race, which roughly is about, 300 miles, I think. Then you move to Charlotte that weekend, 4 days later, for the Coke 600, 600-mile race. That'll be on Fox. And then you've got one day later, you got Xfinity going to be running at Charlotte, and then a day after that, you got trucks running at Charlotte, and then a day after that, you've got NASCAR Cup again at Charlotte. So this is a crazy schedule. Within 10 days, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 major NASCAR races, 4 of them being Cup. This is madness. This is crazy that NASCAR would do this. I mean, teams have gone from sitting on their hands to now, gas on, game on. We're going racing, boys. I don't know. Talk about no warm up. This is better blow the rust off in a hurry, because there's a lot of points on the line and 4 races crammed in 10 days. You better bring your A game, because this can shift the entire season for one of these teams or one of these drivers. Speaking of drivers, all this is going on. Ryan Newman is back, which is huge. We know he had that spectacular crash earlier this year. He is back, and he is, I believe, guaranteed a spot in the playoffs, which I'm so thankful, Ryan Newman. One, that could have been catastrophic, but he's back, and he's got a shot at the playoffs. That's great. Then you got Matt Kenseth, who will be taking over Kyle Larson's seat at Ganassi, which this one came out of left field. Nobody saw this coming. Matt Kenseth coming out of retirement to race that car. You want to talk about a storyline, an epic storyline right there. you know, Matt Kenseth back, and I can't think of anybody better. I mean, you want to talk about bringing in a guy that can instantly win races. I mean, he's a race winner. He's a champ. You know, Matt Kenseth, one of the all-time greats, coming out of retirement to fill that spot at Ganassi. Huge, huge news. So NASCAR, I mean, whether you love them or hate them, you know, they figured out a way to, one, put on races, and two, they're going to be the only major motorsport in the world in the month of May. You're going to have people from Europe, from Asia, from South America, from, you know, obviously from North America, people that aren't even NASCAR fans, they're going to be tuning in. Not only are they the only major motorsport, you know, running, they're the only major sport, period. Stick and ball, ice hockey, NBA, football, soccer, baseball, nothing is going on except for NASCAR. You want to talk about the eyes of the world on motorsports and on NASCAR, man, you know, one, they've got a chance to bring in a massive amount of new fans. But two, there's a lot of pressure for them to deliver. I mean, this situation that they're in, you know, this is going to lay the groundwork for everything in the world that follows. I mean, you want to talk about the guinea pig. I mean, NASCAR stepped up, and one, it was a financially, they, you know, they saw a good reason to do it. You know, whether they're putting, you know, their drivers and their teams in, you know, in harm's way, that's an entirely different story. I'm not going to get into that, but I'm just looking at, you know, if they go and everything goes phenomenally, you're going to have Formula One, IndyCar, everybody, baseball, basketball, hockey, everybody's going to be looking at that and be like, all right, that's what they did. So they built a framework for us to follow. And this is how you put on a major event with TV and you stay relevant, right? If NASCAR goes in and then all of a sudden, even, you know, a week later, one person that was at those events comes down with COVID-19 or coronavirus, oh, man, it is all over. I mean, one, NASCAR is going to get assassinated by the media. But two, every other major sporting or motorsports sanctioning body or organization in the world is going to look at that and be like, pump the brakes, too early, too soon. So, you know, you got to give NASCAR a lot of credit in multiple ways. One, they stepped up and said, we'll do it first. But two, they have a whole lot of pressure, and the world's eyes will definitely be on them. So, I don't know. This could go multiple ways. Color me very interested. You know, whether it's too early, too late, I think, you know, to be determined. We're still a couple of weeks out from this happening. So, you know, we'll sit back. We'll see as this thing matures. But they did step up. They are going to be first, it sounds like. You know, I know I think there was some dirt track in South Dakota that ran a dirt modified race or something like that, I think, in South Dakota. You know, so I can't say motorsports is completely stopped. But, yeah, I mean, major motorsports. This is going to be the first, you know. In Formula One, they're struggling with all these European countries, things like that, trying to get dates. They keep folding, they keep collapsing. You know, I don't know what's going to happen there. IndyCar, they're slated to run in June. So is NHRA. Supercross obviously is going to be back. You know, off roads continually has been delayed. So you know, I don't know. It sounds like Lucas Oil is supposed to come back in early June as well, but. That event's been delayed twice already, you know, so we'll definitely see. We'll keep tabs on it. Do want to make mention, you know, obviously the next two segments are going to be a best of interview with Ken Block. But I do have two major iRacing events coming up with Jim Beaver E Short Course, or Jim Beaver Esports E Short Course, May 9th, May 16th. Press release will be out. We got a whole lot of information around that to disclose, but yeah, we're about a week out from that. So last one had 180,000 viewers. Hopefully you guys tune in to this one. And, you know, should be good times. But we're going to take a short break. We'll be back here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing. So why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show. I'd like to welcome my next guest to the line. Been about a year since I think we've had you on, but Ken Block, welcome, my friend. How's everything going?
It's going very good. Nice to be home and have a bit of time off between events, but I get ready. Just got done with a workout this morning, getting ready for World Rallycross in Canada this weekend up near Montreal.
Yeah, we've got some stuff to talk about as far as World Rallycross go, but I've known you for, I don't know, 6-7 years now, and I've been around pretty much every vehicle of yours, never been jealous of anything, but I'm jealous of your wife. This new Bronco you built her, out of everything in your garage, this is the one that caught me. I'm like, all right, I'm officially jealous of this, right? I got to tell you, that was one beautiful build you guys did.
Yeah, that's actually really funny. I mean, obviously, my wife has really good taste. But it's been funny that we've had such good response from that Bronco. And it was quite a good build from one of the guys that Justin, that's worked for us for a long time, that does a bunch of our special projects like that. And he did a great job. And, of course, every old vehicle like that has its little problems, and that's usual. But overall, the build's been very good. And it's been a lot of fun. So, but yeah, it's funny how many comments and emails and stuff like that I've gotten from people about that one particular vehicle.
Yeah. It's funny because you guys modernized it, but you kept with, I mean, it's still a Bronco. You know, I think you can go overkill sometimes when people modernize older vehicles, but this one's true to the original Bronco. It's just some modern amenities, but you guys knocked it out of the park. That was the one that it caught me, and I'm like, oh, this has officially got me a little bit jelly here. So,
well, it is funny for me because, like, you know, I raced a Fiesta for a long time. Now I race a Focus. And, you know, we build different projects along the way, old stuff, new stuff, you know, and I'll have someone say, like Jason Ellis basically said to me, like when we made the Hoonicorn, he's like, finally a vehicle I can get behind. And I was like, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, I can't like a Fiesta, but I can like a Mustang, you know. It's just funny. Everybody's got their own tastes. Everybody's got their own preferences. You know, there's certain people that just love muscle cars, or there's people that love hot hatches, or love the sound of a turbocharged, you know, four cylinder, you know, or that just love an old basic V8, you know. So I every time that we do something like this, I'm just surprised who comes out of the woodwork and comments about, you know, different aspects of these different projects. So it's cool for me to see the response that we've had from you know, from that vehicle. And the funny thing is, like, you know, we've been planning these couple of vehicles for Lucy for a while, including, the turbocharged R2 that, you know, when we go back to doing some stage rides here within the next year, that she can go out and race with me, you know, just the national level rally. But it's funny, you got zero comments about this very cool Fiesta R2 that's one of the best grassroots, you know, rally cars in the entire world. We bought one for my wife so that she can go do that. But no one cares about that. No one cares about my wife and me. I'm racing. All they care about is the Bronco.
Yeah, I guess you should have did the rally car announcement like a week before the Bronco. That way we would have got a little pop towards the rally car, you know? I don't know. Oh, man.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the key right there, though. You said stage rally, man, that, you know, sometime in the next year you guys are talking about going back to that. That's pretty exciting for me to hear that because, it's been a couple years. I think New England Forest Rally a couple years ago maybe was the last time you guys were out on the stages?
Yeah, and stage rally is what I started in. That's what I absolutely love. I genuinely love rallycross and Gymkhana, but the mileage that you get in the car on stage rally, you just can't beat that. So I want to go back to doing some of that in the next couple of years, and wanted to try and get in a rally this year, but we just ended up not having time. So I'm trying to look at next year's calendar already and plan a few things in. But, you know, I wouldn't mind doing a rally or two here in the States. Really would like to go back to New Zealand and do a couple rallies. And I've always wanted to do, you know, various different rallies around the world, from Finland to Ireland and Africa. So, you know, I'm just trying to prioritize that stuff in the next couple of years and start doing it. And that's why I got the R2 for Lucy, so that, you know, as soon as we're ready to start doing that stuff, that she's got her car that she can go do it with me.
Yeah, well, and I know you and I don't know when it was, one of our conversations we were talking, and you said you didn't know if you were going to go, like, when you come back to rally, you didn't know if you were going to build, like, just a rad vintage rally car, or if you were going to go, you know, full open class, you know, like you've been before. I mean, you know, costs are escalating so much in stage rally to run up at the top, you know. I mean, obviously there's always the R5 platform out there and things like that, but, you know, I know it's still early in the game, but any idea which direction you guys might head?
I don't really know as of yet. It's still a discussion point. I would love to do some stuff here in the States, but the rules, you know, I can't buy, you know, one of the great Ford rally cars that they race all over the world. I can't buy one and just race it here in America because, like, say, the R5 class, which is the top class below the WRC class around the world, and there's just none of them here in the States, and it isn't the top class here in the States because we have the open class here and ARA and Rally America. So, you know, really until they figure out how to build a Subaru that fits into these great classifications that Ford has a bunch of cars built through M Sport for, and then it just doesn't make sense. So that's why I'm looking at doing stuff potentially in Ireland and Finland and in New Zealand and stuff like that, that maybe I'll go do some stuff for fun here in the States. But until there's really a class that makes sense here in the States, I'm just not going to run a full championship. So it's really quite unfortunate. I'm really bummed about that, but it is what it is. And yeah, you know, I want to race stage rally and have fun doing it, but it's got to be also an even field as far as competitiveness goes, and unfortunately that's just a part of racing, and I'll go where it makes the most sense.
Well, and talking about making the most sense, I know you guys have been in, running World RX the past couple of seasons. How has that transition been for you? Because, I mean, I look at Red Bull Global Rallycross when you guys were racing in GRC, and, I mean, you were at the top of the heap. You were the team to beat, you know, and I look at a bunch of different things, and as far as I'm concerned, you're a two-time champion in GRC, you know, whether you've got the trophies on the case or not. I mean, for multiple reasons, you know, it didn't end up happening, but you've won a lot of races there, and if you would have kept at it, I mean, you'd probably be right in there as one of the winningest drivers ever in that series, you know. But how was the transition to RX? Because, I mean, that was basically rebuilding an entire program over on the other side of the pond, right? I mean, how was that transition for you guys?
Well, the transition's actually been very good. And the series is great. The tracks, most of the tracks are really great, and a couple of the tracks are some of the best tracks in the world. I've enjoyed that element of it. Unfortunately, I went from a car that I could win events with the Fiesta, you know, to a brand new platform with the Focus. And it just is a completely different car than what I had before. And I've just struggled with it. So it's really unfortunate that I'm going to race and try and challenge for a world title and do it at a factory level. But I just, you know, haven't been that comfortable with the car. And it is what it is. That's motorsport racing. And luckily we've had Andreas there, that the car has suited him much better than me, and he's been able to perform with it. And he's made my team look a lot better than I think that we actually have been. But, you know, like I said, that's racing. Unfortunately, these things happen. Ford has put in a tremendous effort, and I think that, you know, they tried some new ideas and tried some new things, and some of them have worked, and other things just have not worked out as good as we had liked. And, we've continue to make improvements with the chassis and everything we're doing, but the process has just taken longer than I would have liked.
Yeah, well, It's got to be pretty exciting for you. I mean, because you're a rally purist. I mean, you've said you're a stage rally guy. I know you went and ran WRC for a couple of years with your own team, but it's got to be pretty exciting for you. I mean, you got guys like Petter Solberg and Sebastian Loeb. I mean, you've got the best rally drivers on the planet all there in World Rallycross. It's got to be pretty exciting for you to be banging doors with these guys that I know you consider friends, but they're also, I mean, the level of competition there in RX is just insane.
Yeah, well, if you actually look at World RX compared to everything else in the world of motorsports today, I think it is one of the most exciting series there is, and the format and the way that it runs, over 2 days with a bunch of small races that build up to semifinals and finals. It's one of the best ways to watch something as opposed to watching like just a big 3 hour long, marathon race. So I think that they do a really great job with World RX. Not only on the tracks, but even just the format of racing. And then you just look at the personalities and the cars involved. We have so many manufacturers involved and great personalities and talent from Matthias Ekström to Petter Solberg, Sebastian Loeb, Matthias and Andreas Backerud. So it's great that it's just such a full, of talent series. It's just incredible to watch. So even for me as a spectator, like going through the events, through the weekend, it's just really entertaining. And it's great racing to watch. Whenever the qualifiers are going on, we're, in the grid watching on TV or watching it live. And as soon as I get back on the track, like if Andreas is in the qualifier right after me, I rush to get inside our trailer to watch it on the live feed. So I think it's great. I think it's one of those eras, though, that, who knows how much longer Loeb and Petter are going to race, and Matthias and all these different guys. So it's a great time to watch right now. You're seeing some of the most talented drivers in the world, and some of the biggest guys with legendary history to their careers all together. So I think it's just really cool at this moment in time watching that.
And we'll be back with more with this Ken Block interview when we return here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to episode number 300 of the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Right now, we've got my good friend Ken Block on the line. So, Ken, obviously, you're well-known globally. You're one of the few guys that are, I would say, especially in the rally space, that you can go anywhere in the world and be recognized. I'd say Travis is another one of those guys, and obviously he hasn't done the stuff, in Europe that you have, but just because of his name. But, I mean, RX doesn't have a round in the United States, but you do have a round in Canada. I mean, and obviously that's coming up this weekend. I mean, how is that for you? Is this kind of like you feel like that's kind of your home round here in North America? I mean, do we get some fans from the United States to make the jump across the border to come and cheer you guys on?
It's funny going up there to that particular race in Canada. I don't consider it my home event. My home event would have to be somewhere in the States on a track I've seen a bunch and fans that know me and are just more connected in an American way. I mean, I enjoy Canada. I've always loved going to Canada. I've raced a bunch in Canada. I've won races in Canada. But you go there, Canadians are different from us, and especially in that area, there's a lot of French that's spoken. So it does not feel like North America sometimes when I'm up there. But the best thing for me is I don't actually have to change my, sleep time 8 hours and have jet lag. So that's what I enjoy the most about going up there to this particular race.
Yeah, I know you, and that's funny you talk about that, because I was just, I've got a friend that's over in Europe right now, and he and I were talking back and forth, and the texts are like 10-hour delayed, so I'm basically sending one when I get up, and, it's like that. But I know at one point you were telling me, to get ready to go to Europe, you start getting up at like 1 or 2 in the morning just to try and train your body, even though you're there in Park City, just to train your body so it's not, that big jet lag, and, that's got to be, an interesting process for you and your body just to make that jump over there. How much lead time do you give yourself before an event? You're over there at least a week in advance, right?
No, I mean, sometimes I arrive the day before. It's just such a busy schedule. I have three, great young kids and a wife that I got to try and spend as much time with them as I can. So, jet lag is what it is, and I do the best that I can, but I know that I can get in the car and be ready most of the time. Now, when you're talking about the week in advance, that was really when I was doing WRC, and those races, having to hear the notes for 3 days straight, having to write notes for 2 days, all that stuff. That's why I really needed to be over there and have my time completely changed over, and that was really taxing. So, with World RX, it's just a lot sort of, I don't want to make it sound easy, but definitely compared to the WRC, the qualifiers are much easier than, say, 2 full days, 10 hours a day in a car doing, recce and doing all the pace notes. So it's definitely one of the things that I liked about going to World RX compared to WRC is it just is a little bit easier on the family life.
Yeah. Well, speaking of family life, I know there's something you guys have been able to do as a family, and I wanted to kind of touch base on it a bit because it's something I'm highly involved in. But I know in the past year or two, you've really jumped into the UTV space, and you've had some pretty amazing builds going on. And, I know there's some stuff you posted. I know with me, I mean, I can take my wife, and my daughter's got a little Polaris Razor 170, and it's something we can do as a family. But I know you guys, you've really got into the UTV space. I mean, how'd that happen? And it looks like you're enjoying it, man. I mean, you've got them street legal there in Park City. You're using them as your grocery getter and taking the mountain bikes up the hill. And, how's the UTV, industry? What caused you to jump in with both feet into the UTV side of things?
Well, the funny thing for me is actually a couple of years ago, I didn't like UTV. I thought they were kind of crap. And mainly because they were utility vehicles or golf carts just with some suspension added to them. But I got involved with Can-Am because I talked to them about the long term of things and what they were doing, and that they were building something from the ground up that was going to be a performance vehicle. And last year, I helped launch the X3, and I've been doing a lot of playing with those things, and they've just built something to me that's incredible. To me, I can go out and drive that thing around the roads of Moab, and it's like a mini rally car, and I really, really, truly enjoy it that I can go out in this thing, even in, my local town of Park City on some of the dirt roads around here and use it, or down in Moab. And it really genuinely gives me the feeling of being, in a rally type vehicle that really performs and handles well and can handle the abuse that I want to give it. So I've really enjoyed that. Can-Am has been a great partner with me and the team. And I I've been really stoked on kind of what they've done to further the development of these things. And I just can't believe out of the box what these things are able to do, for the average person. Like, somebody can buy this, go out and do some of the things that I do with it, and then something breaks, go down to the dealership and replace a control arm or whatever. It's just amazing what you get for the price. God, that's not like a salesman, but
yeah.
I'm not really being a salesman right now, but honestly, last week I filmed for 2 days with it out with Hoonigan in Long Beach and even at a little airport. And we actually did some Gymkhana stuff with one. And once again, just blew me away that here I am in this mostly stock vehicle doing this really cool stuff that most anybody could do, and instead of having to buy a $100,000, $200,000 race car to do Gymkhana, heck, you could buy this thing quite cheap and with some minor modifications do some really cool stuff.
Yeah, well, and I know you, if you're like me, I love going out there because I love driving, you know, I love driving off-road or a rally or whatever, but I pull the trophy truck out of the garage, and the minute you start that thing up, I mean, you just watch the dollar signs climb, you know, and, yep. And your cars are the same way, but with a UTV, I can go out, you know, and I can put 10 gallons of pump gas in it, I could drive around all day, and it's, you know, it's cheap thrills, I like to say, you know, because, you know, you're still getting the same experience, obviously, it's just not quite the same, but it's a whole lot cheaper, and I think that's what I've enjoyed about it, you know, is to be able to enjoy what, you know, what we love to do, but without, you know, quite the high price tag on the weekends, you know?
Yep, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, and I know too, I was just talking with Tanner this past week, you know, and you talk about stage rally and the capabilities of UTVs. I know, you're starting to get pretty popular in stage rally, but I know Tanner, he's got a build he's working on in his head that they're getting ready to start with, I think, Reese Millen, and it's a full blown, like, stage rally, Polaris Razor, but I'm pretty excited to see the direction that heads, because I think you get Tanner and you get Reese Millen, you know, and their brains ticking with a stage rally version. I don't think anybody's really built a stage rally UTV proper yet, you know, and so I'm kind of excited to see if that opens up a whole nother door for stage rally and, you know, and you know, allows people to kind of come in at a grassroots level into, you know, into stage rally here in the United States. I think it's something that's kind of heading that direction that I'm kind of excited to see where it goes, you know?
Yeah, I actually think that there's a good possibility with that. And I think mainly only in the grassroots level. I don't think you'll ever replace the feeling and what you can do with, like, a really well put together all-wheel drive rally car. But I know that up at Rally Idaho, my co-driver Alex Gelsomino has competed against a couple UTVs racing up there, and they've had very competitive times to the top cars on that rally. You know, so there are people out there doing it. I don't know at sort of what level yet, but I think there's a good possibility. The only thing I would really be concerned with in the long run with those things in stage rally is just really safety, because, you know, the FIA controls, you know, how our cages are built and the equipment that's put into these cars that we race, you know, because we're going 100 miles an hour next to trees. If you throw a UTV off a road into trees at 100 miles an hour, it's not going to end well. So I think in the long run, that's going to be a really big consideration in that field. So, but we'll see. I mean, that's one thing about desert racing. You are generally out in a little bit more open, you know, type areas where, you know, if something goes wrong, there's more possibility of just rolling along, you know, through some sand or by rocks or whatever, through rocks. But you go out into a forest on a stage rally, and those trees, like STPR, are literally 6 inches off the road. And if it goes wrong, it's going to be pretty ugly. So anyway, you know, I see some great possibilities with it, but I think that some of those areas really need to be thought through before someone puts themselves in a really bad position.
Yeah, and I've thought about that too, you know, and it's even with the desert. I know this most recent one I built, I mean, it's got a really legit, you know, ground-up chassis that's all chromoly, but we had a bad accident at the Mint, and, you know, we're able to roll at 70 miles an hour, and you just let the roll go because it just dissipates energy as it goes, you know. But stage rally, you roll at 70 miles an hour, and immediately there's a tree there to stop you, and that's where you have the abrupt stop, you know, and that's the problem, is you don't have a chance to dissipate that energy, you know. And it definitely gets scary, you know, and that's one thing I've always, you know, rally crashes always make me nervous, man. It's just lots of respect for you guys. But there's one other thing before we let you go I wanted to talk about. You sent out a teaser in October, and I think this is the first time where we've actually ever been able to talk about one of your Gymkhana films before it actually comes out. But I know you took the Unicorn up to Pikes Peak and did a little filming. I know that video is yet to drop sometime later this year, but man, that you want to talk about sketchy. Take one of the sketchiest mountains, I'd say that and Mount Washington, probably two of the sketchiest in the country, but you take that Unicorn with the new engine in it up to Pikes Peak, dude, that's pretty gnarly. That had to have been a ton of fun, though.
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing about that is, you know, we put the twin turbos on the Unicorn and turned it up to 1,400 horsepower, And it is literally just frightening. Like, I don't say that very often about vehicles. And, you know, and it's one thing to put 1,400 horsepower behind a car that's just going to do a drag strip. No big deal, right? But if you're putting 1,400 horsepower between an all-wheel drive rally-style setup and trying to slide a road, you know, up a mountain with big drop-offs, yes, that is scary. So, yeah, I feel like that car is just trying to kill me anyway. And then we're going to do a project, you know, in one of the most dramatic hill climbs in the world. It's a recipe kind of for disaster. So I've had a lot of fun shooting up there. I've really enjoyed it. It is a lot of nervous pucker moments, but it's been quite, you know, enjoyable to do. But, you know, we tried last summer to make the video, and we just had some mechanical issues. And those things happen sometimes, especially when you're, you know, adding, you know, 600 horsepower to an engine, and we weren't able to finish the video, so we're going back this August to finish it up, and it'll be out this fall. So it's just one of those things that not everything works out perfectly the way that you want to sometimes, and you got to adjust, and that's what we're doing. It's going to be a really cool project. The footage is just stunningly beautiful, and the car is incredible, so I really am quite a lucky bastard that I get to do this stuff, and I think that the end project is going to be really, really cool. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting that done and putting that out this fall.
Yeah, well, and that's one thing I've always liked, and we talked about it in the past, but I love the direction you've gone with it, because I think everybody at first was thinking it was just going to be a yearly thing. Now we're going to have a GymCon every year, and you've taken the stance where it's quality over quantity, and if it's not ready to put out, or you don't have a really good idea or vision for something, you're not going to rush something and put it out. You know, it's all about the innovation and doing something dramatic, and I think it's one of those things. Me, as a fan of the series and a fan of you, I think I'd rather see you wait a year and put out something that's spectacular than, you know, then rush it at the end of last year and splice something together just to have something out there on the internet, you know?
Yep. Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And we try and keep our standards very high. And, you know, with everything Hoonigan and I do, it's really about, you know, being creative and entertaining the fans. And everyone seems to really enjoy that. So we try and make sure that we do everything the best that we possibly can. And like you said, rather put out the quality, you know, over the quantity, especially with something like this. We really would rather take our time and get it done right, because really I only have one shot at doing something on an epic mountain like Pikes Peak, and, you know, and we want to make sure that when it comes out that it sets the right standard that we're accustomed to, and if not, then why bother?
Yeah, I agree. Well, thanks a lot for the time, Ken. I appreciate it, man. Good luck up there in Canada, and definitely be tuned into the live stream and pulling for you guys.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Good talking to you, Jim, and hope the rest of the show is great. And hope you're everything that you're doing continues on upwards and bigger and better.
And we'll be back after this break on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Thanks to everybody tuned in, on SiriusXM Channel 211, Dan Patrick Radio, Sports Byline, American Forces Network, Podcast One, DownandDirtyShow.com. Apple Podcasts. Hit the subscribe button over there to us. Leave a rating. Please check out my new show, All Things Awesome, with Jonathan Coyle. Subscribe on iTunes to that, as well as Project Action. Don't forget, May 9th and May 16th, Jim Beaver Esports back in action with eShort Course. We've got a couple of major events going on. You'll be able to stream on Facebook, YouTube, and our Twitch channel. So looking forward to those. Big thanks to Connor Daly, Mia Chapman, and I guess going back a couple of years, Ken Block, for the interviews today. Big thanks to General Tire, Polaris, Razor, Vision Wheel, Rigid Industries, Dirtfish, Optimus, GSP, XTV, Axles. And everybody who continues to support the show. Couldn't do it without you guys. I am at JimBeaver15 on social media. You can give me a follow there. And if you're looking for a coupon code at Dirtfish Rally School, it is JimBeaver15. Yeah, JimBeaver15. That'll get you 15% off at Dirtfish. And, they are scheduling out classes right now, and I think things are supposed to go back to training up there very, very soon. So get those classes in, man. What a way to blow off the rust and get back in action with Dirtfish. And PR-JimBeaver, that'll get you 50% off there at iRacing right now if you're looking for a discount there. So we're going to wrap things up. We'll be back next week right here with another edition of the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show powered by Polaris Razor. Thanks for tuning in. Be safe, and we'll see you guys right here next week.